And a guy who drives it through.
Hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson, defenders backing off.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. As we look ahead to a massive week for the football club, myself and Jay are delighted to welcome along Motherwell assistant boss Keith Lasley. Keith, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
Well, what we'll do is we'll start by looking back on Saturday's fixture, an excellent 2-0 victory at Pittodrie. Jay, you weren't there, so it seems best to start with Keith. And Keith, after two defeats going into that game on Saturday, how important was it as we now can approach the Betfred League Cup final with a victory?
Yeah, it was really important. Yeah, it'd been a disappointing couple of weeks in terms of results. You know, take them in isolation. I think the Hibs game, you know, came at the end of a big week for us off the back of the semi-final, and then, you know, a big effort, I think, mentally more than anything, to go up to Dundee so quickly afterwards and get a result up there. And then the Hibs game, it just felt as if we didn't quite have the energy that we've shown, probably more than anything in that game. Albeit, having analysed it again, you know, there wasn't too much in it. But, you know, we never quite, I think, got up to the levels that we had been shown. So that was disappointing. And then, yeah, you know, feeling going up to Ross County, I heard you guys talking last week on the podcast with the run of games coming up. You know, we did feel it was important ourselves to try and go up there and get a result. But it wasn't to be. We gave ourselves too much to do and ultimately just couldn't quite claw it back, you know, albeit, you know, a very spirited and you know, good comeback, really. We never quite, as I said, give ourselves too much to do. So, yeah, getting into this week up at Aberdeen, we knew it was, you know, first and foremost for our own league campaign and you know, to get back on track and get a win under the belt. And you know, we felt confident after the Ross County game. As I said, it had been a tough schedule, but it did give us a bit of time in terms of the international break to regroup and give the players a couple of days off from what had been a quite busy schedule, both, you know, mentally and physically, as I said. And we felt it in training, actually, in the build up to the Aberdeen. We felt a real freshness in the guys again, and you know, everybody is really training really, really well, and we do train at a really high intensity at the club. It's something we've tried to really focus on, and I think myself and manager could just sense that the boys were really back at it, really, you know, and every day, and I knew how much they were looking forward to the game against Aberdeen. So, yeah, you know, we felt that was reflected in our performance. And, you know, delighted to get a result, and albeit I think a lot of the press has been made of how bad Aberdeen were and how poor they were, you know, from our point of view, I think that was a consequence of us imposing ourselves onto the match, and we're delighted with that. And I think coming out, as you say, into this game on Sunday, it is important, and I think the manner of the win was the big thing for us. It is the big thing for us going into this week's training now, that we've not just went up to Aberdeen and nicked a point or nicked a win even, you know, and been under the cosh. We went up there and, you know, for large parts dominated, which, you know, there's not many teams that have been to Aberdeen this year and done that. So I think we take confidence from that. We also take confidence that, from the fact that we worked in something different. The players, adapted really well. There's a lot of positives to take. So, yeah, I think all it does, albeit we did have belief and we always go into games with belief, I think it gives the players, even that little bit extra going into this week if they needed anything at all to really build up for this, what we know is a massive game on Sunday.
And Jay, in the podcast last week, we spoke about the defensive shape and perhaps players maybe struggling for a wee bit of form. There was an excellent performance from Cedric Kiepre. In fact, the back four were superb over the course of the game on Saturday. I think there was only one save of real note for Trevor Carson to make. A clean sheet is very significant. I know Louis Moult will get all the headlines for his two goals, but defensively that would have come as a massive boost keeping a clean sheet on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all know the prospect of facing a team like Celtic and the kind of attacking players they've got. Again, although we were supposed to be previewing the trip to Pittodrie last week in the podcast, it's only natural that you end up talking about the final because they're so rare. So when they come along, you tend to get a lot of, maybe jump the gun a wee bit and get quite excited about it. So, we spoke about the attacking players that Celtic have got and what the guys who are, going to be up against us. So to get a good, solid defensive performance, get the confidence that a clean sheet will bring. And then even just, it's another game that those guys have played together. You mentioned Kiepre there. We've said that a good number of times now. It's so easy to forget that Kiepre's still a young guy. I mean, he's built like a brick shit house. You don't see this, 20-year-old centre-back there half the time. You just think that, he's perhaps got a bit more experience than he genuinely does. So it's another game for someone like Kiepre. It's another 90 minutes of experience. It's another game of forming a bit more of a partnership with Peter Hartley. So it's all positive. So absolutely, it's pretty much the perfect result and perfect performance for getting into a game like Sunday's. You've played well, as Keith says, dominated for the last spell, scored two goals, a good attacking performance. But yeah, by the same token, a really good defensive performance by all accounts, and that's something that's going to be really important if we're to win the trophy on Sunday.
Keith, when we look at the final, we obviously talk about Celtic's squad and the masses of depth that they have in their squad and at the disposal of the manager. Interesting to note on Saturday, Stevie Hamill and Gail Bigorama both not making the 18 for Motherwell as well. So that's a very good indicator that two excellent players are struggling to even find themselves in the matchday squad.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really good point, and I think there's been a few players that have found themselves not even, involved. I mean, I think young Ross McLean, who's, played a massive part in getting us to this final, didn't even travel to on Saturday. So, and he's been unfortunate. It's not through, it's just through the competition. It's not that Ross has really dropped his standards in training and anything like that, but it's just, we really have got a real competitive squad. And again, something that the manager, wanted to build and continue to build at the club is a real competition in almost every area of the park. So that's what we have got at the moment. I think Liam Grimshaw, who, again, a guy that's had to wait his time, he's been in the stand a couple of times and not even made the bench, but yet he comes in on Saturday and produces a fantastic performance really in that midfield. So it is the way we are at the squad. I think it is what's driving us all on, what's driving all the players on a daily basis, is they know that there's pressure. There's pressure there to perform. We're judging the players on a daily basis, and obviously the games will be the biggest area, if you like, that they will get judged on. But we are looking at the players continually, daily, and try to drive their own standards. And in terms of expectations, and again, listen to the podcast myself last week, and I think you guys were talking about those expectations and how it had been a good start. But when you do lose a couple of games, it's only natural that the expectations have been lifted, and fans will start to expect that a little bit more. But listen, that's what we're here for. We want to expect more. It's, again, something that we've been trying to instill in the players since we came in the summer, in terms of the coaching side of things, is we want to raise their own expectations, the players' expectations, that they can achieve more and they can be involved in cup finals and they can, you know, go to places like Aberdeen and win games of football. So it's all these factors, and in terms of the squad, as you say, that's what we want to try and build expectation, build competition, and build a squad of players that are really hungry to do well, to get in the team and do well, and you know, just drive each other on, really. So it is a competitive squad. You know, I think if you want to come down, and watch training every day, you'll see how competitive it is. But you know, that's what we want to try and have, and that's what the environment that we want at the club. So yeah, Biggie and Hamill missed out on Sunday. You know, that's not to say you know, it'll be the same again, you know, this week. It's just, you know, obviously the manager and myself, we look at every game and its merits and the opposition and what that might bring, and pick a team and squad accordingly. So, but you know, they are two really important players again, along with Ross McLean, and you know, I'm sure there'll be, you know, a bit of chopping and changing as the weeks go on. But as you said right at the start, it does show, you know, where we are at the moment, that we're able to leave, you know, two guys of that ability and that stature out of the squad itself, and still go to a place like Aberdeen and win so convincingly.
That's an interesting one, in terms of keeping the spirit of the squad, which is, seems there's a real togetherness within the squad just now. But when guys are missing out, they're obviously, understandably, going to be quite unhappy at that. Is it a task for yourself and Stephen Robinson to maintain the morale and keep these guys' spirits as high as they possibly can be, despite the fact that they're not playing?
It is. I don't know, I think any, you know, squad, if you want to be successful, it's going to be, you know, you're going to have some disappointed players, or, you know, every week, really, to be honest with you, and that's something particularly the manager has got to manage. But you know, I've spoken on this podcast before, the strength of our club and the way we do bridge that gap, you know, to the likes of Aberdeen and Hibs and Hearts and these teams, you know, I know we've spoken about it a lot, you know, many different occasions, is that togetherness, you know, and it's finding a way of keeping these guys, yeah, driving himself, and we wouldn't want it any other way, that these guys are disappointed by not being in the team and not being travelling. Absolutely, because we want that. We want that drive from them individually to be involved and want to play every single game. I was like that myself as a player. But ultimately, when that decision is made, they then must, you know, do their best to support the guys that have been picked. And I think on the whole, that's what we've had, and you know, we'll continue to try and drum that into the players and convince them that you know, that is what we need. We need that, you know, particularly for games like Saturday there at Aberdeen, like Sunday coming up. We need everybody, you know, the first 11 that are picked, the three subs that are lucky enough to get on, the other guys that, you know, are round about the squad, and even the guys that aren't stripped. We need everybody pushing in the one direction, the fans in the stand, the staff at the club. And, you know, we get that. We feel as if we've got a fantastic chance to compete with anybody on our day, and you know, I think more often than not this season we've managed to provide that, and you know, hopefully that's going some way to convincing you know, the whole squad of players that is the best way forward. And you know, that is, again, as I said, that is the message we'll continue to drum into them.
I think it's very important I lend my support to Aberdeen's bid to move away from Pittodrie, by the way, because that was the coldest I've been at a football match in quite some time.
I can imagine.
The wind beats down onto that away stand, and it was just pleasing that we had something to jump about for and enjoy. So the football in the park thankfully took my mind off of how cold I was. But my knees were still sore yesterday, actually, because of how cold it was, which is possibly an indicator of getting old as well. But yeah, get them out of Pittodrie as quickly as possible, perhaps for even the next time we go there. Jay, the 3 points is lovely, obviously, but we can now turn our attention fully to the final next week and really soak up the build-up over the course of the week. It's going to be a long one at work, I suppose, but is the buzz beginning to kick in properly now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You know, you talk about you know, the build-up, I mean, I think that's something that perhaps, you know, supporters of Celtic might not appreciate, you know, and in fact, they won't be at the moment because their build-up's all about Wednesday night and the game in Paris. I can't imagine they've really given much thought to Sunday, whereas for your Motherwell fans who get, you know, the opportunity to enjoy, you know, semi-finals, never mind finals, all too few and far between, then it'd be daft not to kind of soak it up a wee bit. You know, Sunday itself will be a great day. Really looking forward to it. You know, everything from the, you know, the pre-match and even the post-match. You know, you look back to 2011 after that Scottish Cup final. You know, and although the result was disappointing, Motherwell was absolutely rocking that night. So, I mean, the whole day will be fantastic. Obviously, by the time Sunday comes, we'll all be full of confidence and optimism, and no doubt we'll be subscribing to the idea that we can go there and get a win. But yeah, the build-up is massive. You know, it's such a rare occurrence. You know, I went to my first game against Falkirk in 91 in the cup run, so we obviously made the cup final in 91, and then obviously a League Cup final in, you know, 2005, Scottish Cup final in 2011. So, you know, they don't come you know, as often as they would for even other clubs around our size. You know, I've made it to cup finals a little bit more often than we have, and some have also, you know, managed to lift trophies when we've not been able to. So it's important that all Motherwell fans, you know, it'll be a long week, as you say. They need to enjoy the week and enjoy all the build-up, even if it's just, you know, the discussions on the radio or on TV, or, you know, maybe shops that are offices around Motherwell starting to put up wee flags or banners. You know, I know that your Missy Sparrow's driving about with our League Cup Motherwell flag flying out the window.
Well, that's another story. It actually blew away, so it's not there anymore.
Fair enough. Hopefully that's not a bad omen ahead of Sunday. But no, I mean, that's it. It's you know, it's something that maybe fans of, but, you know, likes the Celtic, you know, perhaps won't appreciate quite as much as we will. You know, they'll be going on Sunday. It's another final. It's another game they're expected to win. If they don't win, it'll be a travesty. But, you know, if they do win, it'll just be, you know, what's kind of supposed to happen when you support a club that size. Whereas for us, it's just a chance to enjoy the entire week, culminating on Sunday. And as I said, obviously, by the time we get there, we'll be going to win the game. You know, we can sit and talk about how difficult a task it's going to be and how overwhelming favourite Celtic are, but it's, you know, 90 minutes possibly, you know, a bit longer, you know, 120 or penalties if need be, but it's a game of football, anything can happen. But it's important to enjoy the build-up, and by the time Sunday comes, I imagine, probably be shattered, because I can't imagine there'll be a lot of sleep on Saturday night.
Keith, it must be slightly different for yourself in the... You've prepared for a final as a player, but now in your role as assistant manager, how much will the build up to this one differ for you?
There'll be a few more hours involved. That'll be one thing. Yeah, it will be different. You know, I remember the final in 2011, and you know, I can assure that I certainly, as a player, I didn't sleep too well the night before that. It'll be a reflection of the performance the next day, unfortunately. But no, it does. It's different as the media scrutiny's there. There's ticket requests, and you know, you maybe start speaking to a few friends, and you maybe not spoke to for a while, and etc. etc. So there is a bit more demand on the player in terms of that. But you know, from a coaching perspective, yeah, you know, it's exciting. It's so exciting for me, fresh in the job, obviously in the summer. You know, to be part of a coaching team, to ultimately you want to try and come up a way to beat a team that's not been beaten in whatever it is, 64 matches. So, you know, that's where I am at the moment. I'm certainly you know, stuck into that at the moment. And you know, as we always do, we'll look at the opposition and find weaknesses and try and exploit them and win a game of football ultimately. So that excites me. That excites me to do. You know, we started that process. Well, probably already started it, but certainly, you know, get into that again today and looking at footage and analysing and, you know, coming up with training sessions, coming up with you know, a plan that we'll put into place this week and with the players. And you know, by the end of it, you know, we feel as if we'll certainly have a way of playing and a plan, if you like, that can go and win the game and win the cup, because you know that's why we're here. We'll go back to Ross McLean, and that's why we put ourselves through Ross County, 10 men, we'll get through and win a game, go through, beat Aberdeen, go through, get to a semi final, beat Rangers. You know, we deserve to be here, absolutely, and we intend to make the most of it. We're not going here to make the numbers up, far from it. And you know, from, as I said, from myself and the manager, all the coaching staff, we will be working overtime this week, as I said, coming up with that plan to ultimately go and win that cup, because you know that's why we're all in football, is to go and try and win things. As Jay says, you don't get the opportunity too many times at Motherwell, so when it comes, you've got to try and make the most of it. And as I said, that's exactly what we'll be doing every day this week in the build up, and then ultimately on Sunday when we walk out onto that pitch.
Jay, incredibly, this will be the third time already this season that we'll have played at Hampden. So far, the results have been fairly positive as well. The 5-1 victory over Queen's Park, and then the semi-final against Rangers. We all know how splendidly that went as well. So I suppose it's a ground now that won't be new to anyone going in the playing side on Sunday. Sorry, The run to the final has been fantastic, hasn't it? Keith talked about the win at County in extra time, then the real demolition of Aberdeen in the quarter final, and the convincing victory over Rangers in the semi. You'd have to say that if we win this cup on Sunday, I don't think there would be any tougher way to win the cup than the route we've taken.
Oh, that's it, absolutely. You know, Keith mentioned earlier, you know, the fact that, you know, the way we kind of ground out the result at Ross County, obviously beating Aberdeen, beating Rangers, there's absolutely no question that we deserve to be in this final. And you're right, you know, I mean, and the thing is that for me, I think, is cause for even more optimism going into Sunday. You know, it's all very well looking at the run Celtic are on, looking at the players they've got. But, you know, to a lesser extent, we were, you know, the underdogs in the quarterfinals and the semi-finals, and at a stage during that Ross County game, we would have became, you know, underdogs, because at one point it did look as though things were going to go a bit tits up up in Dingwall. So, you know, we have been the underdogs on numerous occasions in this run, but we've not just kind of nicked, you know, a little result here or there. We've went out and we've, you know, as you said, demolished Aberdeen. You know, did Rangers in the end relatively easily. So lots of confidence to get into this game. And, you know, we've mentioned a good few times this season in the podcast about, you know, what seems, at least from the outside looking in, what seems to be a really strong mentality about the squad. You know, there have been spells during, you know, I think any Motherwell supporter's lives where you go out, you've went into certain big games and kind of felt that the chances of getting a result were so slim, partly because of who it was you were playing against, perhaps partly because of the Motherwell team at the time, but a lot because there's always been this kind of overlooming kind of idea that there's perhaps not been big game players at the club at times, or, you know, the old one was obviously the idea that we just couldn't buy a win against, you know, Rangers, and also the old fallacy about, you know, we just don't play well in front of big crowds. But you're right, if you look at the mentality of this team this season, you know, going to Pittodrie as soon as Saturday and getting a fantastic win, coming back, even in that game at County, you know, coming back in the second half and showing a never-say-die attitude, obviously it wasn't quite enough. But we've shown that on numerous occasions this year. And then, as you mentioned, to go to Hampden twice already and play as well as we did, I think it all, you know, comes together to show that regardless of what happens on Sunday, you can go along as a Motherwell fan and perhaps not, you know, have at the back of the mind that the kind of result that we got in the 2005 final or the 2011 final. I think you can go with a wee bit more of a confidence, even if we were to go, you know, a goal down, that this is a team that can bounce back. This is a team that will fight and will be determined to put up as good a challenge to Celtic as possible. So, as I said earlier, I think in terms of the preparations for the game, I think everything is as positive as it possibly could be.
We'll return to the podcast with Jay and Keith in just a short while. But as we look ahead to Sunday's Betfred League Cup final against Celtic, I caught up with By The Minute Celtic's Paul Thompson, who gave us a wee bit of an insight from a Celtic perspective.
Well, as we build up to what should be a very exciting week. We've got Paul Thompson from By the Minute Celtic podcast, a very informative and fairly balanced Celtic podcast, one of the very few, it must be said. Welcome along, Paul.
Thanks very much, Andy. Thanks very much for asking my own. That's great.
Well, it's, I suppose domestically you've not been very used to much of a challenge in the last couple of years. A fantastic Celtic team, and we've talked about that already in the podcast so far. You look ahead to yet another final after winning the treble last season. I guess there'll be a lot of confidence in the Celtic camp going into this game.
Aye, probably confidence, definitely. Not overconfidence, I would say. I mean, yesterday we had a very, very tough game against Ross County. We've had a number of tough games. In terms of the, you know, the confidence and the competitiveness, you know, we've been on a good run. We've had some good results. We've been some good teams, but we've had a load of very close games in amongst that. I mean, we were talking on the podcast just the other night about the 63, as it was at that point, games that we'd gone and beaten this season and last season. And I think the common feeling is the game against you guys at Fir Park last December was probably the toughest of the lot. And I know there's been a lot of change in Motherwell since then, and you know, in a very positive sense. But, you know, we're confident, but we're not overconfident.
It's quite an interesting dynamic to the game. I suppose it's the start of a triple header, which I suppose having a small league kind of lends itself to. If you meet a team in the cup, you might end up having rearranged fixtures and league fixtures. But three games in a row, I suppose it's quite an interesting thing to start with the cup final, and then you're going to have two following games after that. With Motherwell just now, beating Rangers in the semi-final, beat Aberdeen in the quarter-final on the back of a 2-0 victory at Pittodrie yesterday. I suppose Motherwell seem to be the team just now that are able to go toe-to-toe with the bigger teams in the league and come out with better results than the majority do.
Yeah, and I think certainly looking at the results this season, absolutely so. I was thinking about this before I came on to speak here. I mean, it's been what, 9 months since Motherwell and Celtic played each other. I think it was February was the last time we actually played each other. So there's a lot of newness in that. We've played most teams at least once, and in some cases multiple times since then. So for us, it's going to be quite novel. You know, the first game we've played against you in a while, it's going to be a cup final, which is quite unusual in Scottish football terms. So that's the kind of first thing for us going into it. But yeah. The Aberdeen result yesterday for Motherwell was fantastic. I kind of said before, we were chatting just before this, you know, Aberdeen are by no means the team that they were last season, but that's not to say they're not still a very good team, and usually a very, very good team at home as well. So I would watch that result with interest. I watched the Well against Rangers game, obviously, for hilarity purposes, and it, you know, you were very impressive that day. Won the game very, very comprehensively. And, you know,
feel free to talk about it as long as you possibly
want. But no, to be fair, you know, you won that game comfortably. There was no real danger in the second half, especially for what I saw. It was you know, a very, very professional, polished, you know, very, you know, pressed very well, very aggressive, and you can, depending on which team you support, you can look at that in different ways. But in a positive sense, you know, you're standing up to teams, you're looking at teams, and feeling that you're going into games that you're equal of them, which is always a good sign. It's a sign that you're getting coached well, and a sign that you're well organised. And I heard Robinson talking after the game yesterday about the attributes going into cup final, and it very much was about that, about preparation, about organisation, about the fact you would go in and feel you could win the game. So, yeah, it's a cup final. I mean, we've been in situations where we've expected to win cup finals before and not won it. We've been in situations where we've probably been the underdogs and we have won it. So it's, you know, it's a one-off game, and a lot can happen in that game. But yeah, I guess back to your earlier point, Motherwell are probably as well placed as anybody to give us a challenge at the moment in a one-off game.
And I don't want, I would very much struggle to find negatives about this Celtic team, because obviously the record that they've got speaks for itself. But this season, you think about home draws against Kilmarnock and perhaps not beating teams as emphatically as they were last season. Do you notice a change in the dynamic and maybe the quality in the team this season? Is it a stronger team than it was last season, or do you think that there's maybe been a kind of few noticeable differences this term?
That's a good question. I think there's probably the one thing I would say is not to underestimate the, and this sounds really patronising, so apologies. I'm not trying to be patronising about, but
that's all right. We're getting all these guys on, and they're always patronising as fuck.
I know. But what I'm talking about is the impact of the Champions League games is having a massive impact after those, before and after them, because you're looking at your team selection, you're looking at what it takes out you to play in these games, and then you're having to get yourself back into routine. So I think two of our home draws, for example, were right after Champions League games, when you're coming back from, you know, Bayern or coming back from Anderlecht, I think, with the two, where we've had really, really tough games after it. Kilmarnock was under Stevie Clark's a much tougher proposition than it was before that. So I think the European things had an impact. I think in terms of your question about quality, I think we're probably as good a team. If you look at last season, we weren't brilliant all the time before Christmas. December was really the making of that team last year. We went into October, November, we had a really, really tough range of games with all the Champions League qualifiers and all the domestic games. We ended up in the cup final, as we have this year. Got a boost to winning that at the end of November. I think we played you guys the following week, which was probably, as I said before, our toughest game of the campaign, domestically certainly, when we, you know, probably any other day we would have lost that game, but we managed to get the last minute winner. Again, I could talk about that game one day, but you probably don't want me. Differentiated ourselves last year was we then went on to play another 8 games in December and went unbeaten. I think we won 7 league games in Drew against Man City after we played you guys at the start, and that was it. After that, we came back after the winter break, and we had our ups and downs occasionally, but we were pretty excellent. This season we've started a wee bit slower at home, definitely, but the away form has been absolutely fantastic. I mean, I think we've only lost one goal away from home. We've taken maximum points away from home domestically. We've had a good result away from home in the Champions League. Gave Bayern a good game at home a couple of weeks ago as well. So, as I say, confidence high. I wouldn't say we're that much stronger than we were last year, but I think when our team's fully fit and rested properly, I think we'll get anybody again.
The Champions League issue is quite a good point. And to be fair, I would follow every Scottish team in Europe with the exception of one. But the Champions League games I've watched on, the Bayern Munich game gave a fantastic account of themselves at Celtic Park, albeit not getting the result you maybe hoped for. The Anderlecht game was a very impressive away victory. But on the back of that, there's always a wee bit of fatigue, jet lag, and Paris Saint-Germain are the kind of prime of Europe now. I suppose they're buying players from Bayern Munich, buying players from Barcelona for hundreds of millions of pounds, breaking all the UEFA laws and everything else. It's a very daunting prospect for Celtic, possibly a prospect that a team like Motherwell face when they go to Celtic, I guess, in a much lesser extent, but it's a huge challenge for you guys. This week, obviously, the aim now is a place in the Europa League in the last 32 after the turn of the year. It's an intriguing one, but is that something that the Celtic aspire to be in the knockout stages of the Europa League and try and progress? Or is it almost seen as an inconvenience now? It's a hard one because of the quality that goes into, drops out the Champions League to go into the Europa League now?
Listen, that's a good question. I think I would be really guilty of sounding pompous and ridiculous if I thought that getting to the last 32 of the Europa League wasn't important for Celtic. It's absolutely important for Celtic. I think any football after Christmas for a Scottish team in Europe is definitely something we can aspire to, regardless of the competition. And obviously, from our perspective, you look at the teams that have managed to make progress in the Europa League in the last couple of years. Ajax last season is a great example, who we've played Europa League and Champions League over the last 5 years, I think, and we've, you know, pretty much been even with them over the two times we've played them. I think we've lost away and won at home and vice versa. But I think the, you know, you look at them getting to the final of the Europa League last year, and I'm not for a minute suggesting that's what we'll do, but, you know, we've got a much better chance of making progress in that competition than realistically we have getting to the last 16 of the Champions League, albeit financially you start getting in a fantastic an environment when you're playing in that. But, you know, important thing for us, I guess, is we want to make progress. Progress for us is getting into Europe after Christmas, given that the last couple of years we've had a horrendous European record. Then last year we made the Champions League but didn't make any progress beyond fourth place in it, despite, you know, losing three, drawing three. This season we've won a game, which is kind of getting us back to where we were aspiring to before. You know, from my perspective, I'd love to be playing in the Europa League after Christmas. It's definitely not an inconvenience, and hopefully it would be a motivator for players coming to Celtic in January as well. You know, there'll be changes going in and out at Celtic Park in January, and I'd like to think it might help bring one or two players in to know that there's still the prospect of European football there. So I'm really looking forward to the challenge it comes from. Where Sunday gets quite interesting is it's another game for us after a tough European tie, and bizarre as it sounds, we might need to look at our selection for Paris during the week, because realistically that's a nothing game for us. Even if we win it, all it does is confirm third place for us. You know, we can still confirm third place in the game against Anderlecht in a fortnight. So you almost you wonder what the mindset going in it is when we've had a big defeat in the home leg. We're playing, as you say, a team that, regardless of your views on the legality of what they're doing, they are doing fantastic things with fantastic players. And realistically, we've got a cup final on Sunday. So do we take the full team over there? Do we go toe-to-toe with them? Do we go up there and park the bus? I very much doubt we will, because that's no Brendan Rodgers' way of doing things generally. But it's an interesting thing for us to see how we'll play on Sunday or Tuesday ahead of Sunday. Because that's
it's
a big tie, as you say, against a big team, but
see,
we've got a cup final to play.
Yeah, and we kind of, anyone listening to this will know the quality that Celtic have having. I'm not trying to blow smoke up your arse or try and be kind of over pally here, but who would you say is the main threats in your team? For me, it's quite a daunting prospect. You look at yesterday and Lee Griffiths is coming off the bench. That's That must be a mental thing in terms of you look to the sidelines and see Lee Griffiths is coming on, Scotland's talisman, such a fantastic goal scorer in Scottish football. To be able to call in him as a reserve player is a massive element of it. Kieran Tierney is impressed any time I've ever seen him. But what would you say is the kind of the players that we should be really looking out for and the danger men for Celtic on Sunday?
Well, I think, I think we've got quality now in most areas of the park. We're still a wee bit short in fitness terms in defence. We've, you know, playing a wee bit of makeshift back four and certainly in the centre halves. But we have got good quality coming forward. You saw in the, you know, you mentioned Kieran there who poses a threat coming up. Very good defender, obviously, but poses a threat going forward as well. But you look at the Hibs game in the semi-final and Michael Lustig popped up with two. You know, probably wouldn't have expected that, but he's got the ability to get up and down. He's coming off a really good couple of weeks with Sweden and his confidence is sky high. So we'd like to think both the fullbacks can get forward and support. We've got a decent midfield just now. I guess the challenge for us is we don't really know what the best midfield is. We've got a lot of players in that middle area. You've got Rogic, you've got Armstrong, you've got McGregor in particular, who are competing with each other. We've brought Nisham in, the French guy, and we've also got Scott Brown, who, you know, regardless of your feelings about Scott Brown as an opposing fan, he's just been phenomenal for us for the last 18 months. But I guess the real threat goal threats going to come from? Sinclair going to come from Dumbelli, Griffiths, potentially Forrest. Those are the guys that will get forward and you potentially could cause you some problems up in the flanks. It's good. You mentioned Griffiths. Griffiths is, I wouldn't go as far as say Griffiths is a reserve player. I think we've got the opportunity to keep him in reserve, but we've also got...
I think that was a precise words, I must confess.
I know exactly what you mean, mate, but I say from our perspective, I'm not even sure. You know, most Celtic fans will tell you Dembele's a better player, but that's not the same as being the more effective player. Sometimes Griffiths can just come in and make an impact in a game that Dembele can't. Yesterday was a great example. But those two are probably, you know, it's the biggest question for us is which one of them plays up front, because the team's very subtly different depending on who's there. There's more a combination thing between Dembele and Sinclair, for example. They work very, very well together in terms of Dembele holding the ball up, Sinclair playing off him. Whereas Griffiths is a wee bit more trying to get in behind the last man and use his pace to get in. So we play subtly differently when the two of them are, you know, depending on who's playing. And it's very rare that, unlike the last sort of half hour yesterday, that we play them together. So I think we have got a few threats. I think we've got a few tricks up our sleeve in that respect. But I guess, again, without sounding, you know, ominous, we've got goals all over the pitch. We've got guys who've, you know, sitting on 3-4 goals in defence, and we've got midfielders that are scoring goals for fun as well. Cal McGregor's probably a great example. I think he's sitting on something like 6 or 7 for the season already, and you know, he probably scored about 9 last year. Rogic, who's a, you know, goal threat in any game he plays, if we get him fit and get him recovered for his jet lag after his, you know, fortnightly hops over Australia for international games. I'd like to think, you know, it'll be a good game in that respect, because we will definitely attack, and you guys are benefiting from being an attacking side just now as well. So I think there should be a few goals in it.
And you must be very concerned about the well-being of your players, because we basically assaulted every player in blue in the semi-final. There had to be another statement released, and to be fair, I'm pretty surprised that no one's spent any time in jail over the whole situation in the semi-final, because, to be fair, we're bullies, we're very bad people.
There's time yet for that. I think they're probably still scrutinising the CCTV for it, so I wouldn't worry about that. listen, it's a man's game. We've moaned before about tackles and challenges against us. We're a bad couple last year. I think you and I have spoke before about the Bowman one on Tierney, which caused a wee bit of bad feeling at the time. We were a wee bit aggrieved what Aberdeen did in the cup final against us, but that's not the type of game I'm hoping it is, to be honest. You know, there's other clubs who use that kind of stuff as an excuse for the fact that their team's bad. We're more worried about it being a good game. We've obviously got a lot of games to play, and the fact we've got two league games which are very, very important right after that, funnily enough, against you as well. So, I'm no overly worried about the physical side. I think there's a thing that I would say about us as well is, you know, we've got some guys in that team that can look after themselves as well. So we've certainly found that when Aberdeen tried to bully us last year, that didn't last for long. So I'm not expecting any police intervention on Sunday.
It's a quite an important element. I know we've talked about it before, but the Ryan Bowman thing in Tierney, there's certainly never been any excuses from our side. It was a terrible challenge, but it's not the kind of player he is, I must say.
There was definitely an attempt, you know, the press definitely made an attempt to link the two, shall we say, between the Herrera, and was it Herrera, or I can't remember the guy's name, the centre-half, whatever his name is. One of Pedro's boys.
Cardozo, sorry.
I get them all a little mixed up, because they're all equally pish. there was definitely an attempt to link, you know, the Daily Record, I think, made a fairly blatant attempt to bring Celtic into that, and I think Brendan got questioned at one of the press conferences about it now, which is out of order, really. It's a different... It's not a game we're involved in at that point, so, you know, we're not really... You know, I'm interested as a Twitter user. I quite like all the banter and the crap that comes with that, but I'm not going to go in and ask somebody in a press conference about it because of that. But,
yeah, that was surprising that Brendan Rodgers actually felt the need to kind of speak about it, the kind of protection. I don't know whether... I know that the kind of mainstream media...
quite often say that, oh, it's always a Celtic story or a Rangers story. And do you think he was possibly just pressed on the situation and felt the need to speak about it, or?
I wasn't at it. I have been at press conferences where I've seen it happening. I wasn't at that one. And I know one or two guys who were and said that the question, I think, that he answered was couched in such a way. It was more a general thing, but the headline the following day was very specific, if I can put it that way. So I think there is something, you know, you shouldn't really talk about games that you're not involved in and issues that happen in games that you're not involved in. But Brendan's an experienced manager. He doesn't need me to tell him that. He's responsible for what he says, and if people like that or don't like it, then you know he's accountable for that. But nah, the general thing for us is we're not expecting it going in and be a war zone. The games against Motherwell last season weren't they like that. Say there was, you're always going to have games where there'll be a challenge or there'll be an incident or there'll be a 50-50 that somebody's not happy with. But I'm not for a minute subscribing to the notion that Motherwell are an over physical team or whatever, because there's just the evidence doesn't back that up for what I've seen.
Yeah, I guess just to wrap things up, a final for us, I've been saying through the weeks, I'm just going to kind of relish the whole week and we're going to enjoy it, the build up. Hopefully we'll enjoy the 90 minutes of football, but not under any illusions that we're massive underdogs, but these occasions don't come around very often for fans of so-called lesser clubs. I personally don't believe we're a lesser club. I think we're bloody brilliant. But for Celtic, as I guess another final, do you still get the same excitement and kind of tension building up to these games?
Well, I mean, same as in, it still feels the same to me. It's maybe not the same as, you know, if you put it in the context of how you've just put it. I've obviously been lucky enough to experience this a number of times, and from that perspective, I'm no bored yet. I'm no weary of winning. You know, we're on a run. And we had a great season last season, but I'm not going to apologise for that, because there was many seasons like yourselves where I've went to games and it's been pretty pish, and you've felt, you know, it's the end of your world when your team's falling to bits and your club's falling to bits. And, you know, we've all had the experiences, no matter what team you support. So I guess to go back to your original question, do I still feel excited when I get to a cup final? Yep. Is it still the thing I think about all week? Have I got my day planned out, and I've got what I'm doing after it? Everything's planned down to the kind of nth detail. I know what pubs I'm going to, I know where I'm going after it, I know where I'm going with. My tickets are securely away and stuck away, so it's still the same as it was when I was a wee boy, Andy. And, you know, for me, it's a cup final. It doesn't matter who you're playing, when you're playing them. It's an opportunity to go in and see your team win a trophy. And, you know, it could be your last. I know I'm a Celtic fan, and you don't know what's on the corner, but you know, I always go in there thinking, just enjoy it for what it is, and you know, make the most of your day. So that's what I would say. Anybody that's going to game, whatever team you support, is just go and enjoy yourself and make sure, from a playing perspective, you just want the teams to come out, you know, having done their best, and whatever the result is at the end of that's fine. But for a supporter perspective, it's all about going and making the most of your day and having a great time. And so if you're lucky enough to go with your pals like I do, then enjoy that.
Well, Paul, on the behalf of the three of us, I hope you and your pals have an absolutely horrid Sunday, but I really do appreciate your time and thank you for coming on. It's much appreciated.
Well, thanks very much, guys. And, you know, I wouldn't go as far as to say I hope you have a horrible day, but, you know, hopefully, obviously, I want the result to go away, but I hope you guys have a good time as well. And I hope everybody just that goes comes back for it feeling it's been a great cup final, because that's the ones that you remember.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I hope your Saturday's all right, but your Sunday is a different Keith, how important is the kind of familiarity with Hampden and having played there twice this season? I know it'll be a different occasion, it'll be a bigger occasion, but does that kind of help in the players' mindsets, that they don't look like a group of players that are going to be overwhelmed by an occasion like we have perhaps been sometimes in the past? But the fact that they've played there twice this season must be a beneficial factor going into the game on Saturday. I need to stop saying it's Saturday. I'll turn it on the wrong day. Going into the game on Sunday.
I think it was. I think it was, particularly for the semi-final. I think it was great. They had been there for the Queen's Park game. because I think there was, I don't know, possibly Stevie Hamill. I'm trying to think who else. Chris Cadden, a couple of younger lads just from the Youth Cup final last year. But probably, I mean, you know, you can count in one hand probably the boys that had been there to play before. So I think that was really important, just to get the surroundings. Just silly things like coming in off the bus, under, you know, you get underneath the stadium and it's a bit different. You come in the changing room area, you know, it's all a bit bigger and you know, a bit more luxurious, shall we say, than we were used to. So it's, yeah, and even the pitch and, you know, the size of the scale of the, you know, Hampden as a whole, I think that was really good to get that experience at Queen's Park before you know, before the semi-final, albeit, you know, it's going to be a far different atmosphere, if you like. Just the actual you know, surroundings, to get familiar with that, I think was a, you know, a really big thing for us. And then, you know, the semi-final, the fact, you know, going and beating a side of the Old Firm, beating a team that have got the majority of the crowd there, beating a team that, you know, is, you're expected to turn up and get beat again and go up the road and, you know, away you go, you know, it's thanks for coming kind of thing, you know. And I think to have been there and dealt with that, and again, like Saturday against Aberdeen, actually in the end, you know, deserving to go and win the game, not just nicking it or, you know, being lucky in any sense, you know, actually going and deserving to win the match. I think, you know, again, even mentally for the players, and in terms of their belief that they can go to a big stage against a big side and come out victorious. And we know Celtic are you know, have been a far more consistent side than Rangers have been, but I just, in terms of the occasion, I think our players have shown that they can certainly handle that. And again, as you said, I think that can only be a positive thing in terms of the players' minds for this week, particularly in the build up.
Jay, I don't want to go into kind of conspiracy theories, but already the stories, we actually got a tweet to the podcast account today regarding Louis Moll and speculation linking him with Celtic. These stories don't tend to pop up in a week that we don't play Celtic. It's always kind of well timed and, I don't know, just kind of almost unsettling stories which come out in the Scottish mainstream media, unfortunately, prior to these occasions. You would, again, have to hope that that doesn't affect Louis in the build-up. He's reached 50 goals for the club this weekend. It's an absolutely fantastic achievement, and hopefully he's got a few more in him on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's I don't know if conspiracy theory is quite the word. I'm not sure if there's some sort of, you know, underlying attempt to unsettle specific Motherwell players going into these games, or whether it is just, you know, a natural byproduct of putting more focus on Motherwell players and the team that they're coming up against. But you're right, I mean, it happens far too often for it to be merely coincidence. You know, it's almost a running joke now that when you're going into a big game against either Rangers or Celtic, you're kind of just waiting to see which of your players is kind of linked with them. And the week before, but it's par for the course. And as we've mentioned before, you know, the mentality of the players, and I would imagine Louis Moult as well, I don't think it's something that's going to really faze anybody. And in fact, if you're a footballer and you're being linked to a club that's bigger than the one you're already at, like Celtic, then, you know, perhaps it's a good thing, because you're not. If there's rumours that Celtic are going to be signing Louis Moult, then Louis Moult needs to go and impress on Sunday if he wants that to happen. So, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But it's par for the course. It was always going to happen, because it does. It happens before any of these big games. It's just something that we need to just put to one side. And I'm sure that the players will do that, because it shouldn't really have any bearing. You know, at the end of the day, once they go onto the pitch on Sunday, whatever the press have been saying in the build-up means absolutely nothing. So it's certainly not something I'm worried about. And as I said, it's something that just seems to conveniently happen more often than not ahead of a big game against one side of the Old Firm.
Well, it was absolutely fantastic to see across social media, and I think it received some national news coverage as well. The McEwen Fraser legal home run competition, which gave two young guys the chance. Aston, who's 8, and Marcus, 10, had lost their dad last year. And Andy Rose and Richard Tate went round to deliver 4 tickets to the cup final. Just a really lovely story, to be honest. And again, Keith, we've talked about this so many times in the past, but that that kind of separates Motherwell Football Club from a lot of other teams, doesn't it? It's just a fantastic gesture. The guys get involved and really seem to embrace getting involved in things like that.
Yeah, they do. You know, again, it's something we have spoken about before, and I think it goes back to what I was saying before about on the part, you know, showing that togetherness you know, in the squad sense. We were talking about the players being left out before, and I think that goes off the park as well. You know, I think even the players joining up with the Welsh society and, you know, that kind of all-together attitude. And I think, you know, a story like that, and I think hats off to the sponsors as well, McEwen Fraser Legal, who have, you know, been very proactive, I think, in their approach to, you know, that side of the club, the community side, and getting the fans involved and, you know, trying to build, you know, even more bridges between the players and the club and the supporters and in so many different ways. So, yeah, it was fantastic. Obviously, I followed the story myself. And, you know, a perfect example of, you know, Yask, Tatey and Rosie to go along to something like that. And, you know, there's almost guys volunteering to do it. You know, it's not, you almost don't have to ask them. You know, there's guys, when they hear that stories like this, they actually actively want to go and do it without even being asked. So, you know, I think it's a sign, again, it just all goes back to that thing we're trying to instill into these players of you know, that kind of togetherness and this club being at its best when it is like that. And, you know, hopefully even getting, you know, the more results we can get on the park, you know, coupled with, you know, these, you know, fantastic initiatives that are going on offer, you know, you can just, the two things can grow together almost, you know, on the football side of it and you know, some of the great work that has been done off the park. So, you know, it was fantastic to see. As I said, I think, you know, congratulations to everybody involved in it, really, you know, in terms of the sponsors and you know, the people that organised it. And, you know, again, as you say, just something from, in my mind, I think that does certainly make this club, you know, a cut above in so many levels when it comes to these sort of matters.
Have you got anyone in the club that deals with nicknames? Because if you've now got Rosie, Bowie, Tatey, Hammy, is it just add a Y on at the end of the name?
Add a Y. Old school. Add a Y. We're not too creative when it comes to nicknames. That's one downfall. Maybe that's something we need to work on.
Yeah, that's maybe not in cup final week, but I certainly.
It's not the top of the list, Andy, but it's on there. So I'll put it on somewhere. I'll pencil it in.
That's it. Winter break. Jay, the fourth round for the Scottish Cup, the draw was made earlier on today. We've been given a home tie, which is nice, and even nicer, a Lanarkshire derby. Hamilton Accies visiting Firth Park. There's a variety of actually quite eye-catching ties, so I don't know whether we'll be a televised game, but it'll certainly be a tasty encounter. We've really improved a record in recent years against Accies, and it'll be one that we now go into expecting to win.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, you mentioned the, you know, a decent record against Accies, but this season has perhaps reignited a bit of a love for cup competitions again, because, you know, so often over the previous years it was kind of the running sort of point, the fact that we just weren't a cup team. You know, we always went into cup games in the early rounds hoping that was the year we were going to get a cup run, and it never seemed to quite materialise. So to be looking to a final on Sunday, which again, you know, I think I gave the League Cup a bit of a powering when they kind of changed it all up to begin with, but I think at least in terms of the scheduling, that they've kind of got it right. You know, we can get into that cup game on Sunday, and so by the time we play Accies in the Scottish Cup, we'll already have one trophy and we'll be going for the double.
sounds good to me.
And Keith, obviously, like the nicknames, it's not in the top of the list at this present moment in time, but it's another occasion to look forward to. I can't actually remember us playing Hamilton Accies for, I think, over 20 years in the Scottish Cup, so it'll be a big occasion. And as I said to Jay, it's one that the players and the supporters will go in expecting to get a positive result from.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, as you said, a home tie is, that's the first thing you look for. You know, I say a home tie, maybe from a fan's point of view, they like a little away trip, to be honest with you. Possibly somewhere, you know, outside the Premiership, if you like. And that's one thing, you know, you maybe, you know, again, the fans would maybe want to see a, you know, less familiar side. But I think if it was going to be one of the Premiership teams, I think probably Hamilton is a good one in terms of it being a derby. And, you know, it should be a really good occasion. And I think that'll be the first game back after the winter break, I think. That's how it works. I might be wrong on that. You maybe correct me on that. But I think it might be the first game back after the winter break as well, which again will build that anticipation, I think, up to the tie itself. And, you know, again, when you're a player and you've an experience of that break as well, when you have your kind of time off and then you get back into your training, and to have that game as the one, you know, game on the horizon, if you like, to work towards, I think, you know, the players will be absolutely flying and really looking forward to it. So no, it's good tie, and you know, as Jay says, it's, you know, it's hopefully the first step on, you know, another cup run. It's certainly, you know, what we plan to do and what we hope for, and we know how special certainly that competition is to the club, but just cup competitions in general, it's something that we certainly lacked for a number of years, albeit when our league form was good, we just never quite seemed to put it together in the cup. So, yeah, and obviously the final on Sunday, and, you know, we'd certainly like to make inroads in that Scottish Cup as well. So, not a big game, and as I said, one you know, we will look forward to when it comes around.
Yeah, just looking there, as we finished 2017 with Accies at home on the 30th of December.
And then, that's right. So it will be back to back, but just a few weeks in between them.
Yeah. So in the Accies game in the cup is scheduled for the 21st of January. So certainly one to look forward to. Jay, we're pretty much there for this week. What are your plans for the coming days to try and pass the time and focus yourself on your work rather than Sunday at Hampden?
Probably just watching endless reruns of the highlights from the semi-final. on YouTube.
I like that.
Yeah. We've got a few. We've got a few things where we found a bit of fame this week, actually. So, I'm just hooting myself out to the media. So.
Oh, aye, I've seen a wee bit of that, aye. Well, I've never seen it, but I've seen you, like, mention it, talking about it.
Oh, well, I meant to be in Kay Adams on Friday.
But you're going on Loose Women or something?
No, that's Thursday. But
I would like to see.
I'm not quite
there. I'm still trying to convince Flo to fly us over to Paris for one last scouting trip, but I don't think it's in the budget, I'm afraid.
The Welsh Society needs to attract a few more members before that.
BT spot, but for me.
I'm not the only person that's hearing myself out to the media, though. I see that you had a wee gig yesterday.
Who's that, me?
Yeah.
For who?
Were you not at Tynecastle yesterday?
Oh, was that? Right, you're right, I still was. I forgot. Dementia's kicking in, sorry. I was doing a little bit, still the new stand. So, I, if you heard me on there, I was hoping to get a few wee homers, just to be honest, because I've still got a few lights and whatnot to go up, I can assure you. there's a few licks of paint and a bit of plastering to be done. But impressive stand, I've got to say. It's for the you know, from the pitch, looking back, it is pretty good, to be fair. But aye, there's a bit of snagging to be done, let's say, certainly, inside, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think they got it over the line, but only just, and only on the morning of the game as well. So that was quite impressive.
That's true.
Keith, thanks very much for joining us tonight. We wish everybody at the club all the best for the week ahead. We'll be right behind the guys, and let's hope that it's a turn to create a wee bit of history on Sunday.
Yep, let's hope so. That's the plan, and you know, let's go for it. Absolutely, that's what we'll be planning for all week. And you know, I can assure you about a team of players and a squad that will, you know, be full of belief that we can bring that trophy back. Absolutely.
Jay, thanks as always, mate.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back, depending on hangover situation, next Monday. Until then, thank you, goodbye.